The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except the one loaf that they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." So they discussed this with each other, and they said, "It is because we have no bread. It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Watch this short video clip. Let me warn you. The first part of it, you'll have a very hard time understanding, but then when you see it, you'll understand why that is. But the part I want you to hear, I think you'll be able to get it.
Well, I think of them funny names, though.
Oh, I know to get those ball players up in front of me.
Let's see, on the team we have, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
You the manager?
Yes.
You know the guy's name?
I should.
Let's tell me the guy's name.
I say, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
You the manager?
Yes.
You know the guy's name?
I'm telling you their name.
Well, who's on first?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell
who.
The guy on first.
Who?
The guy's name first, man.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you.
I'm telling you.
You ain't telling me nothing. I'm asking you who's on first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first base.
That's it.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me? I'm asking you who's on first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
That's it.
What's the guy's name on first?
Now, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
That's what I'm asking you. Who's on first?
Don't change the
question. I'm not changing nobody. I asked you a simple question. What's the guy's name on first base?
What's the guy's name on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Who's on first?
Now we're not talking about him.
Now, you know, some of you may have remembered that when it first came out. But not all of us can do that. That is a great presentation of what it's like to have ears and not hear, to have eyes and not see. The part you couldn't understand is Abbott's the big guy and Costello's the shorter guy. Yes. Abbott says to Costello that he's coaching this new baseball team and they have really strange names. And so Costello says, well, what are their names? And then Abbott says, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. So he's already set the premise that these people all have strange names. He's told Costello that. And then he goes on to tell them the names. But Costello can't grasp the concept of these people's names. And so there goes the bantering back and forth. And it's just a great way to reveal that sometimes we hear things but don't really hear them, or we see things and we really just don't see them because we're either so used to them or they're just such a part of our lives that we just flippantly blow them off and we don't pay much attention to them. I don't usually tell family stories because they get you in a lot of trouble when the family finds out. But many, many years ago, when we were at Glenlea Grace, our oldest son, Kyle, was in the youth group, and Carrie was our youth director. And so Carrie overheard Kyle and some other folks talking about skipping school. This was a Wednesday night. I don't skip school on Thursday and go to the beach. We're in Jacksonville. They have a beach. And so she came and told me. I said, okay, got it. Next morning, get up. So I said to Kyle, listen, whatever you plan to do today, do you hear me? And he said, yeah. Whatever you plan to do today, don't do anything stupid. Just go do what you know you are to do. Got it? And you know how they are. You know how they are. The same way we used to be. That's how they are, right? That's how they are. And so, you know, I said, whatever. And about an hour later, I drove by the school, and guess whose truck was not at school? Well, obviously Kyle's. So I hunted him down at some friend's house. I'm saying, dude, come on. What are you doing? Didn't I just say? He had his ears, but he didn't hear me. And he has eyes, but he didn't see what I was saying to him. The problem with that is that as good old Christian folks, it can come to us that we have ears, but we don't always hear what's being said. We have eyes, and we don't always see what's taking place, but we should. And so, you know, as we watch Abbott and Costello, you know, we can kind of laugh at that because we've been there. We've done that stuff. If you're married, gentlemen, does this relate at all? Of course it does. Yeah, of course it does. Because we of the male gender have this gift of God called selective hearing. And I firmly believe it's a pure gift of God, or he wouldn't have given it to us. And we have developed the traits to use it very, very well. So there is this imminent danger that even though we're moving through life quickly and we're doing all things we're supposed to do, we will have ears but not hear, eyes and not see. So we take that to Jesus and the disciples. Now, don't get all upset. Don't get all upset. Oh, he's calling Jesus and the disciples, Abbott and Costello. No. Don't get all upset. The same thing happens with them. And I tried to read it in such a way that you would hear that. The very last thing he says to them, do you just not understand? Really? And the only answer they got is what? No, we don't get it. We just don't get it, man. We don't get to where you're coming from. We don't understand. And then he asked them a series of questions. And in those series of questions, you can almost feel his frustration and his disappointment and his hurt. When I finally found Kyle that morning, I said, dude, come on. Didn't I say to you this morning, don't do anything stupid? Did you not hear me say that? Are you so dense that you don't think Carrie would come to me and tell me what she overheard you guys talking about when you were just so indiscriminately talking about it so loudly? Duh. That's her job, to come and report to me. So what's your problem? Those same questions of frustration, those same questions of disappointment. So if you've got kids or grandkids or whatever, you have probably asked those same series of questions. Questions that reflect your disappointment and your frustration in them when you thought everything was crystal clear. So we're going to use all that to kind of take a look at the story. We're going to look at some of the verses, verse by verse, and we're going to bring it back together again, I hope. So here we go. You need to remember a little bit about the background. If you began reading at the beginning of chapter 8, you know that he fed 4,000 folks. So 4,000 folks means men, wives, kids, relatives, all that. They were all there. So they ate. The people were satisfied. The disciples went out, picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces, and about 4,000 folks were fed. That's the beginning of 8. They jump in a boat, and they head on out across the sea, and end up somewhere else. And the Pharisees catch him and say, hey, we got some questions to ask you, because they wanted to test Jesus, see who he really was, and can he really do the things he says he can do, and is he really the person he says, all that stuff. So they want to test him, so they said to him, give us a sign from heaven. Now, you got to remember that the disciples were there to help feed the 4,000, and the disciples are there now when Jesus is being questioned by the Pharisees, and so they are part of that, and they hear Jesus' answer to the Pharisees, which is, no, I'm not going to show you a sign. You should be able to what? Hear, see, understand. By the premise of your own scriptures, you should be able to hear, see, and understand who I am. I don't have to give you any signs. You don't need any signs. Just hear with ears, see with eyes, and understand who I am. And of course, you know how that worked out. But the disciples are there to hear that. And that's going to be important later. So to the scripture. Verse 14. Disciples had forgotten to bring the bread except for one loaf they found somewhere on the boat. So they all get on the boat. First of all, they fed the 4,000. They picked up all the baskets full of bread. They jump on the boat and take off. And my first question is, what happened to the 7 baskets that they picked up? Would they leave them? They just left them with the people. What did they do with those 7 baskets? So they jump in the boat and they're like, oh, no. We have to go back to Walmart. We forgot the bread. Oh. So they found a loaf hanging out somewhere in the boat. So now you can begin to imagine the conversation that's taking place between these guys. It was your fault. You're supposed to bring the bread. No, I brought it last time. I told you two to make sure you picked up at least one basket, if not 3 or 4, and put them on the boat with it. But you didn't do that. No, because it wasn't our turn. You were supposed to do it. No, we did it last time. Remember when we did the 5,000? We're the ones that picked up that bread. And we made sure we took it. It's your fault. Wait a minute. Where's that? Come here, man. You got it. See, on and on and on. They're just focused, because they forgot the bread. Oh, my gosh, we forgot the bread. Forgetting the bread isn't the biggest issue they're going to face. There's a deeper theological issue that they're going to face. We all forget things. How many of you ever forgot anything? How many of you forgot where you were at this morning already? Okay. So we all forget stuff. But there's a bigger theological issue here than simply forgetting things. Much bigger. And it's got everything to do with ears and eyes. So they're having this little conversation about, oh, man, did we ever mess up? We forgot the bread. Oh! And Jesus says, y'all need to be careful. Watch out for the yeast and the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. In the New King James, it reads much better. It says, he charged them. To charge is to command. There are expectations when someone is charged. So in today's reading from the NIV, it's a little soft, a little flimsy. He said, oh, he warned them, da-da-da-da. In New King James, it's not soft and flimsy. It says, he charged them. He charged them. You all be careful about the leaven and the yeast from the Pharisees and Herod. See, it comes across much stronger. So we have to stop for just a second and talk about leaven. And you guys know what leaven is. It's that, Mikey says, that little baking stuff you throw in the dough, and all of a sudden makes the dough get really big, and it makes big loaves of bread. Takes a little bit, spreads quickly, has incredible results. But when we talk about the leaven and the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, we're not talking about baking loaves of bread together this afternoon. We're talking about their philosophy, their politics, their theological implications. Talking about Herod's ability or inability to follow the law or change the law as he sees fit. We're talking about all of that. So we're basically talking about the doctrine then of the Pharisees and the Herod. And the problem with the doctrine and the policies of the Pharisees and Herod is that it was a corruption of the law, that it established traditions contrary to God's law, and it just revealed the incredible hypocrisy of humanity. So those are the issues. And that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Y'all need to watch out for that stuff. I'm charging you. I'm commanding you to watch out for that kind of stuff going on. Because a little bit of that thrown in people's lives can go a long way. Because people are easily influenced by the Pharisees and Herod, or scared by Herod and influenced by the Pharisees. So it doesn't take much And it's like leaven in bread just makes it swell and get out of control. So you guys be careful about this. You need to pay attention about this. You need to be careful about this. Next verse says, this is just great stuff. Next verse says, so they discuss this. They say, well, we forgot the bread. Jesus says, be careful. And now they're back together talking about this. And they said, you know, he said that because we forgot the bread. What? He said that because we forgot the bread. Are you crazy? No, I told you to bring the bread, but you didn't bring the bread. Now look, now we're all in trouble. And he's telling us about Herod and the Pharisees because we forgot to bring the bread. No. It's got nothing to do with bread. The theologians, you know, you could suppose anything you want to. But they're like, you know what? These guys were probably thinking that they're in trouble for not having enough bread. And Jesus is saying to them, don't you go eat the bread of the Pharisees and Herod. Don't you go to Herod looking for bread. Don't you eat the bread of the Pharisees. If you weren't smart enough to bring bread on this boat by ourselves, if y'all couldn't work that out, get a group together, get the trustees or Ed Council or the Finance Committee, get together, get enough bread. Don't you go off getting bread from Pharisees. Don't you do that. Well, that's not what he's talking about at all. Some folks would say, well, the disciples interpreted his comment to mean, if you get bread from the Pharisees, make sure you know about the leaven in the bread that they give you. And so they're supposing all this stuff about bread. It goes right over because they got ears, but they're not hearing, and they have eyes, and they do not see. So it's got nothing to do with real bread. What I would suspect is defrustration. He begins to ask a few questions. The scripture says, and becoming aware of it. Aware of what? Aware of the conversation and their discussion that they really believe he's still talking about real bread because they forgot to bring the bread. Isn't this goofy? This is just like, oh, so goofy. Becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, why in the world would you be talking about bread? Why? Are you so incredibly dull that you think I'm talking about bread? Is that what you think? Yes, you forgot to bring the bread. Yes, I got that. But don't you think that I could take that one loaf you've got and fill this boat with bread with it? Did you not see what we just did? Are you so thick that you just can't get this? Do you not perceive and understand? Do you not get what I've done so far? Do you not understand where the power, where the influence, where the word comes from? That it comes from Yahweh, my Father in heaven, your God. Do you not get that? Do you not understand and perceive how it is we've come so far together in the time we spent together? Are you still not perceiving or understanding? Or maybe, you know what? Maybe your hearts are just hardened. Maybe you just refuse to embrace God's truth for your life. Are your hearts hardened? So you hear with your ears and you see with the eyes, but you just kind of blow it off like, whatever. Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you just refuse to accept what's beyond you? You've seen it. You've done it. Do you remember in chapter 6 when I sent you off in pairs? And you cast out demons? You healed people? You did incredible stuff. Are you simply refusing to embrace what you saw yourselves doing? Is that what you're thinking? You have ears, but do you fail to hear what I've taught you these years? Have I ever said anything to you that was wrong? Have I ever lied to you? Have I ever had to go back and retract a saying? Have I ever had to go back and retract something I've taught you? Have you ever heard me say anything to you that doesn't nurture and bless and prosper your life? Have you ever heard anything from me that doesn't just raise you and bless you in some capacity? Do you not hear the words I give you? Don't you get this? Seriously, you guys can't remember? You can't remember when I called you? That I knew your names? That I challenged you to come with me and you surrendered everything to be mine? You can't remember all the things we've done together? Can you not remember the times we've cried together and laughed together? Can you not remember all the times when we would heal people and walk on and we would talk about it later? Can you not remember Jairus' daughter? Can you not remember the healing of the blind? Can you just not remember? Is that the problem? They don't answer any of the questions. He doesn't give them a chance. But he tries to help them because he has a heart of compassion. So in verse 9, he says, okay, let's try a different route. Think hard. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? All right, don't answer that just yet. Don't answer that yet. No. Think. We were together. I told you have the people sit in 50s and 100s, and you did that. Remember that? Yes. Okay. And then I gave you the baskets. You remember that? Yes. Okay. Good. Do you remember walking and pulling bread and fish out of the baskets and throwing it to the people? And every time you looked into the basket, it was always full of bread. Do you remember that? Yeah. We got it. How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up? They said, 12? Yes! You picked up 12! And they're like, wow, okay. Do you remember a few days ago we fed 4,000? Yeah. Do you remember the baskets again? Yeah. When you went out and picked up all the broken pieces, think hard. How many baskets of pieces did you collect? And they said, 7? Yes! 7! You picked up 12, then you picked up 7. Yes! Doesn't that mean anything to you? 12. 7. 12. 7. Does that mean anything to you? If you go home today and you start to Google 7 and 12 in the scriptures, you're going to be lambasted full of information about the 7s and the 12s of the scriptures. All the stuff they refer to, all the stuff they mean. When you break them down, it says that the 7 is the addition of the 3 and the 4. This is not all, it's just one. The 3 represents the wholeness of the kingdom of heaven, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, yes? 4 represents the world, the earth, the 4 directions, north, south, east, and west. And 7 is the unity, the perfect unity of heaven and earth. It's full of all that kind of stuff. These numbers were big to them. They were big to these guys. They would have known that. We wouldn't have to say, hey, think about heaven and earth. No. They would have gotten this stuff. They would have gotten it. They would have understood. 12 means something. 7 means something. Do you guys not put these two numbers together? What's going on with you? Here's a story where 12 is just obvious. They would have known it. Chapter 4 of Joshua, remember Moses taking the people? Moses has some issues. Boom, he's out of here. Joshua comes up. He takes over. And so we pick it up right there. The nation had finished crossing the Jordan. So God says to Joshua, choose 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes. Take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. How are they going to get them out of the middle of the Jordan? It's full of water. No, it's not. Water's all gone. He has separated the Jordan so they could all run across. And he's saying, before I put the water back, y'all go out there and get 12 stones to serve as a sign among you. When your children ask you, what's the deal with the 12 stones? You'll be able to tell them. that these are the stones taken out of the Jordan when your God separated the Jordan, made a dry land for the Ark of the Covenant to go across. They're a memorial to the people of God. You'll be able to tell them that. The number 12 is huge. And they would have known it. The numbers represent God's fulfillment in the past, the importance of it in the present, and it always points to the future. So when you go look up these numbers, 7 and 12, 7 and 12, 12 and 7, 7 and 12, you'll see that each one can look back to the past, has meaning in the present, and always looks to the future. Always. Each one will do this. Go look them up. Each one will do this. And don't you see that now on this day, he's saying to them, do you remember the baskets? They said, yes. How many was in that one? How many baskets? 12. How many baskets over here? 7. Where did the baskets come from? They were the leftovers from when you broke the bread and you broke the fish and you fed the people and you told us to go out and pick up the extra pieces. That's where the baskets came from. They came from where? From you. You, Jesus. Those baskets came from you, Jesus. In other words, it is their current experience that by the hand and the power of Jesus Christ, those numbers, 12 and 7, came alive. It came alive for them. Listen, they don't have to go back and remember some goofy story about the folks crossing and getting the rocks and building them no more. They don't have to do that. They can just look at Jesus and look at 12 baskets. So, oh my gosh. 12? 7? From him? Yes. Yes. He's saying to them, I'm the 7. I'm the 12. I'm the one who brings it together. I'm the one who makes it whole. Don't you see that? The 12 and the 7 are from me. They've always been from me. They point to the past. They're important in the present. And they will always point to the future. It's not about the bread you forgot to bring with you. It's about the 12 and the 7 that we've talked about over and over and over. Do you just not understand? Do we understand? As you go through this day, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will see the movement of God in your world. Somebody will say something. Something will happen. You'll see it or you'll hear it. And you'll say, oh, that's a 7 or a 12. Yes. Yes. It is the evidence of God moving in our lives. You can look back to the past. It's important in the present. And it always looks towards the future. You'll see something today. That's a 7 or a 12. And it'll be the evidence of God moving in your life. You know what he does after this? You know what he does when this story's over? He goes and heals a blind guy. Guy can't see. He's got eyes, but he can't see. And Jesus gives him eyes to see. The disciples are still there like, wow. He didn't have any eyes. I mean, yeah, but they didn't work. Now they do. And it's like Jesus saying, yes, you morons, that's where you're supposed to be. You've got eyes, use them. Tell me one more time before we stop. Tell me one more time. What are those numbers? And they said, 12 and 7. Yes. 12 and 7. Yes. Critical numbers. Write them down, guys. So they all took out their phones. 12, 7. Put the phones back away. Because they're critical numbers to them. You'll see 12 and 7s. You'll see them. It's the movement of God in your life. You'll see it. Some of you are 7 and 12s in other people's lives. They look at you. They say, whoa, that person is different. Something religious or something. Yes, yes. They're a 7 or a 12. Pick whichever one you want. Doesn't really matter because they both do the same thing. They're a 7 or a 12. Yes. You're a 7 or a 12 in people's lives. You are. You are always a 7 or a 12 in God's eyes. In God's eyes. Because he created you. You're the work of his hands.
In you, we see the past, the present, and the future. Because God works through our lives. He always sees us as sevens and twelves. Always. Why? Because He just loves us so much. He just loves you so much. That you are always a seven or a 12 to Him. Always. You couldn't be anything less in the eyes of God. You can't be. He just loves you that much. Father, we love you. You know, we would really like to love you as a 7 and a 12 in our lives. But, you know, we don't hear really well sometimes. Or don't see really good sometimes. And that really mixes things up for us. So we first pray for your forgiveness. And we would ask that you show, by golly, today, our prayer is that you show us a 7 or a 12 outside of this church. We don't want to see it in here. Well, I mean, we do, but we want to see it outside the realms of the church. So we know. And a greater prayer, let us be that 7 or 12 to someone else. We just pray you let it be so for us. And you know we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, who brings all the 7 and 12 stuff together. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.